The Woodlands, Texas. It's in the Houston area. My father is the worship leader at Grace Crossing Church of Christ. He's been a worship leader my whole life. And there he is. That's us at a Chiefs game. Go Chiefs. And that's my mom. She also works at Grace Crossing Church of Christ as one of the teachers. And she's been awesome. Obviously, you can tell I got my looks from her. So they were high school sweethearts. They're adorable. On Wednesday, I just found out, definitely forgot, but they're celebrating their 33rd year together. So that's been a huge blessing. Having such influential parents like that in a Christian household has been such an impact as to why I'm here. And also growing up in the church, I've probably taken more naps on pews than I have my own bed. So, I'm going into my junior year at ACU. I have loved every second of it. The community I've built with the brothers and sisters of Christ that I've made have been something that I now consider a foundation to my spirituality. And they've pushed me not only to do better grade-wise and to study more, but also to pursue God. So, as my internship wraps up, I've been asked by multiple people from this congregation, how was your internship? Or how would you describe it? My response has been that this is the summer of seeking discomfort, which is also on the bulletin. From having leadership positions at camps that I used to go to as a youth group kiddo, to leading devotionals on the spot multiple times, because Alan thought that would be hilarious to do. It's being in charge of herds and herds of small kids who, for the most part, don't speak English, and that was an experience of its own. To even sharing a bed with Alan. Sorry, I had to. God has forced me into multiple situations that I probably would not have done. Because of this, I was content with my relationship with him. With both my parents growing up, being ministers, me growing up in the church, I was used to coming to church on Sunday mornings. I was used to taking communion, giving offering, going to Wednesday nights, doing Bible camps like I mentioned earlier, and even going to a Bible college. But God wanted more than what was convenient to me. See, for me, a life of comfort was what I was used to. So, next slide. Thank you. So, my favorite trip this summer was Camp Blessing. Oddly enough, it was the trip that I was least looking forward to. I was very nervous about it. So I'm just going to read what they have on their website, that this is a custom-designed camp for kids and adults with any disability to come and feel accepted. Let that sink in. From their specialty-trained staff, faculty and activities, to their menus and clinic, they're ready to meet the needs of any camper diagnosed with intellectual and developmental disabilities, who may also use wheelchairs, walkers, and crutches. All they have to do is show up and be treated like rock stars. These kids actually, for once in their life, get to go to a camp that they can actually do activities. They're not bound to just their wheelchair. They can go ziplining. They can do arts and crafts. They can do music. For me, my favorite and the funniest part was that they could do costumes. Watching them get into that was so fun. The idea for this group right here was that each of us volunteers were partnered with a buddy for the week. All of different types of diagnosis for different teens, ranging from Asperger's to severe ADD to autism. And from the moment they wake up till the moment they lay their head on the pillow at night, we are there for them. So, let me flip over. By the end of the week, this group of men were more than just volunteers from different parts of Texas. See, this is how I see the church. As a group, we depended on each other heavily. It wasn't just I was assigned to one child and that was it. We found out very quickly that this is a family and that everybody's assigned to each other and we're all taking care of each other. We fellowshiped together. We worshiped together. We did Bible studies together. And for a whole week, us volunteers were completely selfless. No phones, no distractions, nothing. Just giving 100% of our being to another. It was uncomfortable for us because as people, we weren't used to actually giving up all of our every fiber to another person. And but man, seeing the smiles and laughter on the teens when they were doing different activities and when they were worshiping, it was incredible. And that for once a year, they're not bound to their disability, that they can do whatever they like at this camp and that they can have fun. That's powerful, and to me, that's what the kingdom of God is. Next slide, please. Actually, wait, would you mind going back? There was a... Sorry about that. There we go. So, this is Gabe, also Gabriel, but all of us called him Gabe. So, Gabe is nonverbal, which means he does not speak, and I knew this before he arrived. I read on his application, which all of us volunteers were to read before the camper arrives, that he had a communication board that he could use. So I was completely prepared for this. I was picking the bed that was closest to the wall outlet, that way we could charge his communication board at night. I was quickly going on Google once I found out that he was my buddy, on ways to save battery, how to use it, how to work it in case something happened. I thought I was completely prepared. So when Gabe and his mother arrived, we unpacked his sleeping bag, put it on the bed, got his little bag of toiletries out, got his toothbrush and toothpaste, all that, set out his clothes ready for the week. And so I talked to his mom a little bit outside and said, "So I saw on the application that he uses a communication board. Would you mind showing me the board and maybe some tips on what to do and how to charge it?" And she was a sweet lady, and bless her heart, she looked at me, a little confused, and said, "Oh, we didn't bring it." Yeah, and so I replied with, "Okay." In my head, though, completely freak-out mode. How do I know that he likes the food that he's eating? How do I know when he has to go to the bathroom? That was important. How do I know if he's even having fun? And so as I'm in this freak-out mode, standing in front of me is Gabe, smiling and laughing, thinking it was hilarious. And in front of me, he has severe autism, does not speak, and I am now in charge of making sure he has the best week of his life. It was a daunting task, needless to say. But let me tell you, God showed me how to see love in other ways than verbally. I saw the love of Christ in ways that I didn't think were possible. And by the end of the week, we were so in sync that we had our morning routine down pat. I knew that I could stick my hand out from the bunk bed because I was on top of him. He'd give me a high five. I knew he was awake. We would brush our teeth at the same time, get ready for showers. We were on point with that. We were laughing at the same jokes, and I found out that he's a huge jokester. And his big thing, as you can tell from his smile, is that he likes to see other people laugh. And, most importantly, we even got the bathroom situation down, which that was an experience of its own. So, to transition, the apostles were called away from their life of comfort, some being fishermen, others were tax collectors and zealots. Jesus called them to a life of discomfort. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted." It's not really the most uplifting message, I know. But also, as a child, Joseph was thrown into a well, exported to a foreign country, sold into slavery, falsely accused of rape. He was forgotten in prison, and all this was in the span of 17 years. And all this was because he followed Christ. John the Baptist was decapitated. I wouldn't say that was the most positive thing. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times, as stated in 2 Corinthians. And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 22, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully." It's pretty harsh, I would think. So, being a Christian is not supposed to be easy, or comfortable, or convenient. The idea that people have a right to a secure and healthy life is an attitude that has unfortunately bled into the church. The Bible actually promises us persecution and suffering for our faith, and the world is in rebellion against God. See, when God came to earth as a man, Jesus Christ, the world responded by rejecting him and abusing him and then murdering him. And Jesus promised us that that the world would treat us the same way it treated him in John 15. There we go. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong in the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So, with all this said, how does this apply to us today? Today it's easy to get caught up in the convenience of church and the fact that we are so blessed to be able to sit in pews and be comfortable expressing our faith. And we focus on ourselves so much that we forget that Jesus requires us to give up everything that we have to follow him. So reflecting back on the scripture reading by Gael and Israel, thank you. The story of the rich young ruler is fascinating. And I found this particularly interesting because the man came to Jesus with an earnest heart. He did not come seeking something from Jesus with the intention of just selfish reasons. He came with an earnest heart. He even replied that he has kept all of the commandments. Now Jesus escalates that requirement by identifying what this man treasures most. He challenges him not only to follow the letters of the law, but also to follow Jesus through the radical self-discipline and service to others. So just like the rich young ruler, we can come to Jesus with an earnest heart. As a Bible major, it's easy for me to get caught up in the fact that because I'm a Bible major and I come to Jesus thinking that I have an earnest heart towards him, that I deserve all the blessings. But Jesus wants us to be radical. It's up to us whether or not we are ready to drop everything and follow him. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 through 22, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will go wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Dr. Lee Camp talks about in his book, Mere Discipleship, that the call to radical discipleship is thus not a call to a burdensome moral perfectionism, but a call to leave the old ways of death and darkness and walk in the new way of abundant life and glorious light. Thus, being a radical Christian doesn't dictate that we have to become perfect, but it has to be acknowledging that we need to give up things in our life that we hold dear. And just like the apostles had to give up their life, their livelihood, and their well-being to follow Jesus. So I would like to leave with this note. How will you be a radical disciple? And are you willing to leave behind your old ways to seek the discomfort for the kingdom of God? Now, this question isn't to offend anybody. It's to challenge the church and you to find ways in your own life to look for opportunity for God to work through you. So, as my time here comes to an end, I would like to say thank you to Leander for being so gracious and giving me Southern hospitality at its finest, for opening up your homes. Thank you to the Fries, to giving me multiple meals, which was fantastic. Not used to that as a college student. And just thank you for letting me go on these awesome adventures with your children, and let me tell you that God is working through them. And to Alan, thank you for being more than just a boss. Thank you for all the laughter, and thank you for being a friend and a mentor. And to the youth group, your identity comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. And no matter where you go in life, know that I'm always going to be praying for you. So let's pray. Father, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for the summer that has given us the opportunity to worship you in ways that I did not imagine. Thank you for giving a servant heart to this church, Lord. I challenge you to challenge this church to push them further in that, that they're doing great things and that they can strive to do more and better for your kingdom. Lord, I ask that you set this church on fire with a passion that will not be quenched, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So, as we transition into our last song, if anybody else has any thoughts or prayers that they would like to lift up, it could be blessings. We're going to have elders and staff that are going to be in the front and the back that would love to talk to you. Thank you.
Please stand.